Summer Sundays are meant for freshly cut grass, ballpark dogs, and the best baseball talk you can find. So kick back with your bacon and eggs and pour yourself a mimosa while Phillies announcer Greg Murphy and Green Legion Radio's Chris Sack break down your fighting fills and take you around the league right now on Baseball Brunch. Play ball!
Good morning, Philadelphia, and welcome to Bud Light Baseball Brunch, powered by Green Legion Radio, 102.5 Fox Sports The Gambler, 104.1 in the Trenton area, WDAS AM around the rest of the Delaware Valley, or just download that iHeartRadio app. You can listen to us anywhere, crystal clear, worldwide. We are broadcasting to you live from 1100 Social down here at 11th of Patterson at Xfinity Live, right outside of Citizens Bank Park here in South Philadelphia. Come on down and hang out with us. We're going to be here until noon, and then me and Slash are going to be breaking everything down while Murph goes over and does the pregame. But I'm Chris Sack with Green Legion Radio alongside my co-host, who needs no introduction at all, here in the Delaware Valley, Phillies broadcaster Greg Murphy. What's up, Murph?
What's up? Good morning, and welcome down to South Philadelphia. Another Sunday morning here at 1100 Social, and we're gonna forget all about last night, Zach. That's what we're gonna do. We're like an Eagles cornerback. We're gonna you gotta have a short memory. Today we're gonna focus forward. Think about today. Think about evening up this. We are going to talk about last night.
We're talking about last night.
Oh, boy. All right. Well, then.
Do you honestly think I'm sweeping that one under the rug?
I feel like I've talked about it enough. The Phillies really, they're not doing themselves any favors, obviously, with the way they're playing right now. But when you look at a 500 baseball team over the course of a 162-game season, this is what you get. And right now, that's exactly where the Phillies are. I mean, they are an average baseball team in a below-average division. That is keeping them in it, but it's been hard to watch over
putrid,
the last couple
of days. Pathetic. Yeah. Last night was an absolute disaster. They're not doing themselves any favors as far as leading into the trade deadline here coming up on Saturday, Murph. Now or never. It's do or die. I mean, like, I don't care how the division falls out in
like
the next
Hollis
7 days. I'm actually starting to adopt his mindset with this stuff. But this first segment is brought to you by MCS Residential and MCS Custom Cabinetry for all your residential contracting needs. This is who you want to talk to. Everything from additions, renovations, kitchens, baths, closet organization, cabinetry, vanities, basements, everything you need. Mention the Green Legion and get 10% off of your order, regardless of how much. I know I did. Reach out to them at www.mcsinc-pa.com or call them at 484-202-3656. That is www.mcsinc-pa.com or call them at 484-202-3656. Get a hold of them today. Before we dive into the Phillies from over the last week, as we go out of the box, we have tickets to give away, and they're great tickets to give away, Murph, as it's somebody that I think we all admire and respect, and he's going to be honored in a couple weeks coming up here at the ballpark on Alumni Weekend.
Yeah, the Phillies are going to retire number 34 in honor of Roy Halladay, and they're going to unveil the Hall of Fame statue, out there in left field right near Dick Allen's statue that just got unveiled last season, or two seasons ago at this point, I guess it was. So yeah, Phillies versus Mets Sunday, August 8th at 1:05. It's part of the Wall of Fame weekend, Phillies Wall of Fame weekend, and it's going to be great, man. Trio on Saturday going to be honored. David Montgomery on Friday night of that weekend. So it really will be great. We have tickets for you. And how do you get them? Well, you got to answer our trivia question. And in order to win, you have to answer in the comment section on the Green Legion Radio YouTube channel, the Green Legion Facebook page, or at our Twitter handle, at Green Legion. Here is the question. This is a tough one. Zach, you're really going to make the people think today. I don't even know if you could. I guess you could Google this one, but it might take a while.
Oh, you're going to Google it.
Yeah.
And there's no doubt about it. You're going to Google
this
it.
Make sure
you put both in the same answer.
That's right.
Make sure Sam's not dancing back and forth. You're going to have to put them both in the same line.
All right. Both answers in the same line. We're looking for two pitchers. Roy Halladay had 67 complete games during the course of his Hall of Fame career. There are two pitchers that are currently the active leaders for complete games thrown in a career. Active leaders, so they're playing
active
right now. Complete games thrown in a career. Who are those two pitchers? Put both those pitchers' names in the same answer line. We will have the winner of the tickets for the Mets game coming up in just a little bit, so good luck.
Yep, and hopefully we'll have it at the top of the segment, but I don't know. I got a feeling here, Murph, that it's going to take people a while to get this down. So actually, we are joined right now here at the table by the esteemed leader of Green Legion and Green Legion Radio, Craig Quimby Chinoski. We were starting to highly doubt if you were going to be showing up today, brother.
I'm even sober and not hungover.
Whoa!
What a, it's a win.
Wow. Yeah,
it's
a win. God, I should have played that one.
That might have been the only one we get this weekend.
So do you have anything that you'd like to add to the table right now, or are you just looking to dive into the conversation about the Phillies from the last week?
Jets trip is up. Make sure you sign up. $169 for the next 15 spots. You can't miss out on that one. Cheapest we've ever offered anything. The Bahamas trip will be up tomorrow, as well as the D.C. trip.
Which the Bahamas trip will be the
bi-week Bahamas bender.
Oh, ooh. I like that name.
Alliteration. Yeah. I like it. Yeah. Yeah, you can't go wrong with that.
And I liked the field goal game last night.
15-3? Yeah.
Actually, I went to an Eagles game before. They lost to the Giants 15-3.
Yeah, Atlanta's kicker was so much better than ours yesterday.
Well, Young Hoku.
Yeah.
Sounds almost like a bad Monday night start of a season after a Super Bowl loss.
Oh, God, yeah. That was absolutely dreadful and pathetic. I know we want to dive into everything from the last week and whatnot, over the course of this conversation here in the first segment. But I think, Murph, the right place to start is with last night. Yeah. The last night's effort. This has to be the last time that we see Vince Velasquez make a start for the Phillies.
You know what?
I would hope so. I would think so.
Look, it might be. That might have been the final time we see him in the starting rotation in a Phillies uniform. I don't know. I mean, the Phillies, you have to have somebody pitch.
I know there's not a lot of options.
No, there aren't a lot of options. But, if it is the last time we saw Vince, you think to yourself, wow, what really could have been from Vince? His tools are there. He certainly has the arm to pitch in the big leagues, but for whatever reason, he could never find any kind of consistency.
Tool might be the key word there.
But if you get to know Vince is such a good dude, so we kind of pull for him, but you can't send him back out there, time after time after time, and get the same results. A definition of insanity, right?
He's doing the same thing over and over again.
So they're going to have to try something else. I don't know what that something else is. Maybe it's Chase Anderson coming off the IL. Then maybe it's a trade that Dave Dombrowski makes as we approach the trade deadline. But it'll be interesting to see what they do with Vince. I don't know if he heads into the bullpen. I don't know if they, just part ways. I'm not sure.
Why is everything square peg round hole with this franchise? Because, in college, Spencer Howard was a bullpen guy. Yeah. He was a reliever. Okay. Bailey Falter was a starter. Yet Bailey Falter is coming out of our bullpen, and Spencer Howard they're trying to create into a starter. I don't understand why they're trying to do that concept here. I know Bailey Falter right now is unavailable for us, but that would be a guy that I would think that should be able to make that next start. Come Thursday, it's sad that we just don't have any options at all. And then the one thing I don't understand too here, Murphy, before you dive in and you give your opinion on that and your thoughts, I don't understand how. And I know we're going to talk trade deadline in the second segment. I don't understand how the Tampa Bay Rays are, they're vying for first place or in a wild card position. They make a trade for Nelson Cruz, but then they trade Rich Hill to the Mets.
Yeah.
I don't think they have a bevy of starting pitching talent there in Tampa. Why do they make that deal? Why do they give him to the Mets allow them to bolster their starting rotation?
Well, here's what I think on that. Honestly, I think the Rays are so good at what they do in terms of finding talent, creating talent, and I think maybe they know something about Rich Hill that they think, look, he's not part of our present, he's not part of our future, we're going to send him off and try to get something back for him, because for them, Rich Hill isn't a fit for them, so they send him over to the Mets. I actually think it's kind of a good thing, because if the Rays are giving up on him, generally, then they know something that everybody else
kind of like Blake Snell this year with the Padres.
Yeah, I mean, look at that. You think, there's what are they doing? Here's a guy that was at the top of his game 3 years ago, and they're just kind of, letting him go. But there you have it. Blake Snell hasn't been the same guy out there in San Diego.
He was risking his life, bro.
Yeah.
He was risking his life.
Yeah, well, don't get me started on that. However, so I don't know. We'll see. Rich Hill's going to throw today for the New York Mets. He's going to make his Mets debut today. Maybe he's not going to be any good. Wouldn't that be nice?
We'll find out in our last segment. But I look at it like this, Murph, over the last week. Very disappointing week. I know last week we finished that game real quick against the Marlins, a suspended game, and then they came back. They were down 4-2. JT had a heck of a day.
Yep.
Off Monday, they go to the Bronx, and that was disappointing in and of itself. I mean, in particular, Aaron Nola's start on Tuesday, and then Wednesday, they walked 11 times, but went 1-for-14 with runners in scoring position, and they lost in the 10th inning on a walk-off. And the Yankees right now, their lineup is not Yankee-esque. Like,
no,
you know, if you look at the top of that lineup, you know, hey, well, you know, you got LeMahieu and Stanton and you know, Torres and Sanchez. But, like, if you look at the guys, I couldn't even name any of those guys prior to that series, that two-game set. Extremely disappointing that you didn't get one of the two, and then we followed it up with a couple clunkers here against the Braves. It's been a disappointing week, especially if you want to force this front office to make moves in a week, and you're going to say, hey, John Middleton, go over the luxury tax threshold.
Yes.
Hey, you know, Dombrowski, we want you to trade a couple top prospects. You are not setting them up right now to do so. It's a disgrace with the way, especially last night, how they performed. You had to rely on Torres, who you said last week was the offensive MVP of this team.
Yeah.
He had to get the last five outs of the game last night. The last five outs.
Yeah, and his ERA skyrocketed from 0 to 13 last night, too.
13.5.
I feel bad for the guy,
13.5.
You know? 13.5. You know, that's going to be on the back of his baseball card for the rest of his life. That's
hey, at least
fair.
When he was on the mound, he was as tall as the rest of the players.
That was great the other night on Thursday, by the way. Segura and Torres. And what was it? It was Albies. They put Albies and Torres. They put them right next to each other, back-to-back, like you were in elementary school. All right, who's taller than who?
Like my kids do to me all the time now, you know? as they blow past me in height. You know, last night, you're going to have games like that throughout a Major League Baseball season.
Of course.
But
Wrong time.
Exactly right. You can't throw in a clunker like they did last night in the middle of trying to get back into this race. You know, look, the Braves are the same way. The Braves, if you're down in Atlanta right now and sitting outside, I don't know, 1200 social down there in Atlanta and doing a show similar to ours, they're saying the same thing. Because they can't seem to get it right either. You know, they're winning one game, losing another, winning the next one, losing another. And it's just the way it's been for this division. And quite frankly, the Mets, too. The NL East is such a poor division.
Abysmal.
It's competitive, but it is a poor division right now. It's like the only saving grace at this point.
It's competitive if you consider it a junior varsity league.
Yeah. And the weird thing, Quimby, is that coming into this season, I think most people would have told you it was going to be one of the best divisions in baseball.
I know we did.
It just goes to show you that you really don't ever know for sure what's going to happen in between the lines. And, you know, I keep saying it over and over. The only thing we can hang our hat on if you're a Phillies fan right now is that this Phillies team can win this particular division this particular year because of the way it's set up. So
I want to disagree with you. And the reason being is that this team has not done enough to bolster its starting rotation to have anything other than these clunker games, which you say you can't have. This team, as it stands right now, is no better than a 500 team.
You just said it, as it stands right now. So with a week to go before the trade deadline, if you brought up John Middleton. If you're John Middleton and you're watching this, are you going to go over should you go over the luxury tax at this point?
No.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people are starting to have that opinion.
Because you're already the fifth highest payroll in the league, and this is the product that you have on the field.
Yeah. Hey,
until this team stops leaving runners in scoring position, that Didi dribbler back to the mound last
tough.
Night. That changed the entire complexion of the game. They could have gotten back into it you know, just don't double up. Don't double up going into your nine-hole hitter. But until we keep talking about Vince Velasquez, okay, we're going to keep talking about Vince Velasquez until they have another pitcher. And there is no other pitcher out there unless they're buyers.
Well, yeah.
And I wouldn't be a buyer right now. I wouldn't do it because even if you win this division, I don't feel like you're going to get anywhere.
Okay, but here's the thing. I hear you, and I think that is really becoming the overwhelming sentiment around this team right now is that, hey, you know what? Maybe pump the brakes on buy-in at this point and really start to try and develop the guys that are down there and bring some guys in, some young guys, maybe trade off some of the veteran talent that you have. But you're four games out, and if you do go out and get a starting pitcher and a bullpen arm, can you make up that ground? Now the Mets are going to be buyers too, so we'll see. But it is possible. It is possible. And then you say to yourself,
it's possible the Eagles are going to go 9-8 this year, too, but it's highly unlikely.
Well, if you listen to some of the idiots on Sports Talk Radio in town, you would think they're winning 11 games.
That is why we do not do Sports Talk here on Fox Sports The Gambler and the Green Legion Baseball Brunch.
We're more realistic on Fox Sports The Gambler. Let's put bygones be bygones.
Yeah, we have no interest in callers from
Manny Young.
Yeah. Well, Frank from Roxborough.
I think Dave Dombrowski is in a very difficult situation. And look, he was asked yesterday afternoon after they introduced their number one pick this year, Andrew Painter. He was asked by reporters where the front office stood. And, you know, without saying it, he pretty much said, look, we're going to be aggressive. We're going to go out and make some moves. We're going to bring some people in here. Now, that was before last night's loss, 15-3. But, you know, Dave Dombrowski was brought here to Philadelphia for one reason and one reason only, and that was not to start a rebuild. It was to get this team to the postseason in the next couple of years, and that's what he's going to try and do. So I think you're going to see them be buyers. I'll still be – unless they lose seven straight this week, I think you're going to see them be buyers.
I also look at it like this, too. I mean, like, really, in reality, if you go over the luxury tax threshold for the first time, the penalties aren't that bad. Really, you have to look at it from that context. Yeah. The thing is about this team is what you thought was a strength coming into the season with your big three, with Wheeler, Nola, and Eflin, has turned out to be a big disappointment outside of Wheeler. I mean, Wheeler's been phenomenal.
It was a strength. It is no longer a strength.
But that's the problem, though, because instead of them going into this trade deadline and saying, well, all right, listen, we can add a fourth or fifth starter to the rotation, to go along with Eflin, Nola, and Wheeler. Now, Nola, the wheels have been falling off on him for a while. He's had a couple good starts. He had a great moment with the Mets where he struck out 10 batters in a row, but he has not been Aaron Nola. You have to fix Aaron Nola before we can think about anything else. Now, if you want to give up some B-level prospects and take on some money, I've got no problem with that. But when I'm hearing people say, oh, well, the other day, and this was a report that they had, Johan Rojas and Bryson Stott got pulled from the game, and so did Chris Bryant. Like, come on, man. Like, really, let's be serious here. We don't need to do anything with the lineup, in my opinion. We don't need to do anything there. Everything's fine within the lineup. It's the starting rotation and maybe a guy in the back end of the bullpen, especially with Sam Coonrod being shut down again the other day. I mean, that's not good news with the elbow issue.
There's so many issues. All right, I don't think getting an arm in the starting rotation and an arm in the bullpen is going to fix the problems this team has. Nola is no better than a 2 or a 3 at this point. Eflin is no better than a 4 or a 5, and they're both in a position where they are held more accountable as a 1 and a 3. You have Mickey Moniak, who we've been all waiting to come up. He comes up and... You're waiting for Alec Bohm, who was your, number one overall pick?
He was the third pick of the draft.
And, you know, he's had some bright moments.
His power has been inconsistent this year.
Look, this whole team is inconsistent. Aaron Nola, all right, first of all, if you're dubbed as the ace of this team, then you have to have some degree of consistency. And he has not had that. He did not have it last year. He didn't have it the year before. And he certainly doesn't have it this year. So, you know, we make fun of Vince Velasquez, but Vince Velasquez is to Aaron Nola as Aaron Nola is to Vince Velasquez. Neither one of them are living up to their expectations.
I think that is absolutely true, that Aaron's not living up to the expectation right now. But, you know, he could go out there today and dazzle, right? He could. He's done it before. He could do it again and I mean,
and I can go out and shoot an 82
right
at Riverwinds and shoot 95 the next day.
You can't shoot an 82.
Brother, I can shoot an 82 all day.
Does this sound like a challenge?
Do I play? Come on, yeah.
That's right. You don't do anything else.
Yeah, that's right. I golf. That's all I do. I'm an unemployed golfer. look, I hear you. I'm not arguing any point you just made because it's all true. You can't argue it. The definition of a 500 team, and this is what we started with, the definition of a 500 team is a team that is completely inconsistent, and that's what we're seeing from the Phillies right on down to their top players. But I do think that if Aaron Nola can figure some things out, you know, this division is so flawed. If the Phillies are in any other division, they are sellers. But because they're in the NL East, you have to consider being buyers because this division still is up for grabs. It is. You can say what you want. Now, if the Mets go out and add, you know, three marquee talents in the next 3 or 4 days, maybe they run away with it. I don't know. I don't see it. I think it's a three-team race, and I think it's going to continue to be a three-team race right on through September. And if we're in a pennant race and fans start to come out and fill this ballpark, that's good for the franchise, and that's the way they have to look at it.
18 separate times this year, they've been 500.
Yeah, it's crazy.
18 separate times. I'd like to see it. It's like,
you know what the Phillies are? A very good basketball game.
Yeah, back and forth. The leads are changing. They've never been more than four games above 500 this year. And they've never been more than four games under 500 this year. I mean, think about that. We're almost 100 games in, and that is where they are. Right there, 4-4, back and forth.
You know what I take from all of it? Besides the fact that we have to go to break? I'm going to whoop your ass on the golf course.
But... Well, you know, you don't do anything either, so you're probably right.
Sounds like with the trade deadline coming up, the Phillies do need some insurance, and so do you. Life is full of surprises, some good, some not so good. That's why your State Farm agent is there with good neighbor service and surprisingly great rates for everyone. Yep, that's right. At State Farm, you get great service and great rates with every policy, so you can be prepared for all life surprises. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. When you want the real deal, call Dave Bavuso, State Farm Agency, 856-740-5012. Individual premiums will vary by customer. All applicants subject to State Farm underwriting requirements. Coming up, we're going to talk, and we're going to dive further into Major League Baseball's trade deadline, which is next Saturday, July 31st. Make sure you guys follow us here again for our second segment on 102.5 Fox Sports The Gambler. We are Bud Light Baseball Brunch.
Oh, welcome back. The next sip, a small plastic drink pouch that frees your hands while you keep your beverage in the ready position. NECK Next Sip. Time to free up those hands and wear your drink, everyone, and hold any beverage, even bottles, cans, and snacks. Text with both hands and drink at the same time. Visit nextsip.com and visit them at Next Sip. Customize it any way you want. Perfect for sporting events. Philly born and USA made. Only $5 each. 15% off when you use the code GREENLEGION. Again, visit nextsip.com and follow them at nextsip.
All right. Welcome back to Bud Light Baseball Brunch here on 102.5 Fox Sports The Gambler as we go into our second segment here. And before we dive into any content as far as our trade deadline is concerned, I want to go ahead and give the answer to our trivia question.
Tough trivia question.
It was a tough one this week. Roy Halladay had thrown 67 complete games over the course of his Hall of Fame career. Who were the two current active leaders in complete games?
I got one of them.
You did get one of them. And it was pretty much spot on. Adam Wainwright is second. So you got Adam Wainwright and Justin Verlander, who you had guessed correctly. A lot of guesses from people with Clayton Kershaw, who's at 25. So all he needs is one more, and then he's tied with the other two there. And Scherzer was another near miss that people had as well.
Yeah, good guesses. You forget about Adam Wainwright and how good
he is.
Easy
to forget.
He is easy to forget, but man, oh man, what a career.
And he's come up with some great moments in particular in October.
Yeah.
He saved us from the Mets winning the World Series in 2006. So,
You know what? And for that, we should all thank Adam Wainwright.
Always for sure.
I agree.
Fantastic. Awesome. So why don't we dive in, Murph, here? We have a week away, less than a week now, to the Major League Baseball trade deadline, which is next Saturday, July 31st. So I know we kind of got into it with Quimby here in the first segment, but let's talk a little bit about the Phillies, what potential needs we're looking at. I mean, I think we all can agree that we need to add another starter to this rotation. What quality starter? Do we need an ace-level starter? I don't think a lot of them are out there right now, but I think you need a guy that's going to at least be able to have the ability to give you 5-6 innings a night as compared to what they're doing right now. Did you know, and I know we talked about this last week, that Matt Moore... The Phillies were 7-1 in his starts. A guy actually bet $50,000 on Thursday night for the Phillies to win that game.
No, I did not know
that. Bet $50,000 to win $65,000, and he lost, obviously. I mean, what the hell are you thinking as far as placing $50,000 on any game Matt Moore?
Hey, no, well, I mean, because you're looking at the team being 7-0 and playing well behind them. And
does he actually watch the games, though, or does he just look at the numbers?
Hey, Matt Moore's kept this team in games a lot more than some of the other guys have over the course of this season. Since he's been back in the rotation, he wasn't very good his last start. But $50,000, I mean, hey, if you got $50,000 just to throw down on a Matt Moore start, and God bless you,
I wasn't sure if it was
Floyd Mayweather.
What are we doing wrong, right?
Yeah, I think I thought that was a Floyd Mayweather bet. But,
man.
But I think we both can agree. Another starting pitcher, you know, maybe the third or fourth quality ilk, because eventually at some point here we're going to get back Zach Eflin. I'd like to think that we're going to get him back.
Healthy, I hope.
I know Sam Fold was talking, you know, the other day that he thinks he's going to be on the lower end of the recovery scale there. So they think they should have him back. He might miss two or three starts and then return.
Yeah, and we talked to Joe about it yesterday, and Joe said that Zach did tell him he was feeling much, much better, which is a good sign. I think he's eligible to come back on Tuesday.
The tendonitis?
It's that, you know, it's that knee pain is what they described it as. And, you know, he's dealt with that in his career. It's something that, you know, he's going to have to deal with for the rest of his career. It's manageable.
He's a big dude.
He is. And, you know, and pitching obviously puts a lot of strain on those knees. So, for whatever reason, it acted up on him. But hopefully he comes back, and hopefully, you know, he didn't have very good command the last time out, but you can almost trace it right back to his legs at that point. Hopefully, if he's feeling better, then he gets back to the way he was pitching, you know, earlier this year, because they need obviously Eflin to be good, and they need, yeah, to your point, they need another guy to come in and pitch well, whether it be via trade or what have you. I think it's going to have to be a trade at this point, because I don't think they have anybody in the system that can really be that consistent guy coming in to pitch in that, you know, fourth spot in the rotation. So, I think it's their number one need at this point. And it's funny, because early in the season, I think we all would have said bullpen. We talked about center field. It just goes to show you how long a baseball season is. It's because your needs change over the course of the
different
things
crop up, different, for sure.
Yeah, and starting pitching. Well, I mean, this is a league where you need pitching. It always has been, always will be. You need guys to pitch.
Where did this all go awry? And why has it been this
so long? Yeah.
Look, I get there's down years, and I get there's rebuilding years.
Down decade.
But it is. It's been a down decade. And the unfortunate element about this, and you say, okay, you know, what if they go on a 7-game streak or 10-game streak or something like that? To me, right now, it's I believe the GP of Philadelphia is just expecting this team to be nothing more than average at this point. And I honestly got to tell you, it's going to take them winning a few more than 7 games or 8 games or putting on a stretch for this town to start believing, not necessarily in the players, but just in the franchise itself.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. You know, I keep going back to the same thing. The difference this year than maybe it would be in a different year, if they do, and again, huge if. They haven't even sniffed 7 games this year in a row. But if they were to go on a streak like that, they would probably take over first place in the division. And that will get people excited. You know, if they were just winning games and still trailing in the division, I don't know that the team would get behind. Even
winning 7 games wouldn't even get anybody excited to that degree and taking over first place, because the Phillies were in position in first place in August in 18 and 19.
Yeah, fair
and
point.
Here's another element that this team, to me right now, isn't endearing to the fan base. Not like it was when we were on that fantastic run from about 2005 on, because it was homegrown talent. We don't have much homegrown talent. The reason why we're the fifth highest payroll in the league and playing average is because they went out and bought everything they have. They had to.
Yeah.
So, I think there's a problem that's been bred that's going to take a while to fix. I mean, can't even sell out a Yankees Sunday game.
You're absolutely 100% correct. Oh. And the problem is, the problem has been building for years. You could probably go back to 2010, 2011, 2012, when it all started to kind of, you know, the franchise players were getting older and things were starting to turn over, and they weren't able, for whatever reason, to kind of harness that momentum, get some other young talent into the system and bring them through. Then the rebuild, you know, you tear it all down and you start the rebuild, and it didn't work. The rebuild did not work, and that is probably the worst thing that can happen in sports, is when you think about the 76ers. Can you imagine, you know, if the 76ers, if they never get to the finals after the process and all, you're going to look back
we
and
know.
Be like, yeah,
we don't want to talk about the process on our show.
There's no reason to bring Diaz into this.
Please, right now. No, we don't need to.
But
he was on vacation this past week.
When you embark on a rebuild in sports, you do it because you believe 100% that when you're done the rebuild, you're going to have sustained success for a good period of time. The Phillies aren't there. Now, if there's one guy, if there's one guy that can fix it, Dave Dombrowski's done this before. And I think getting him in here, you got to give him a little time. Obviously, he's only been here a couple of
months.
Since
December.
Yeah, but Dave Dombrowski is a guy that has a track record, proven track record over four different franchises that he's been able to fix it. So, John Middleton says, you know, the Buck family says, go get Dave Dombrowski, bring him here, and try and fix this as quick as we can. You know, can he fix it this year? I don't know. I don't know if he can, but can he fix it over the next couple of years? I believe he can.
Murph, you know? put on your GM cap here for me for a minute.
Okay.
All right? So what do you think? Do you honestly think, like, within this division, yeah, is the division winnable if they can string some wins together and they make a couple moves? Absolutely.
I mean, and that's a good thing.
That's a good thing to have. But the thing is it worth the Bryson Stotts?
No.
The Johan Rojas?
No.
The Mick Abels? Like, these
you're going to wind
names,
up mortgaging the possibility.
That's not going to happen.
And they should not, because
I think Dombrowski
has enough clout to where he can talk Middleton into spending more money and going over the luxury tax threshold. But I think even Dombrowski has to think that these guys, these few valuable assets that they have, including Andrew Painter now, who was introduced yesterday here at the ballpark, they need to still keep the future in mind, because
absolutely,
as these guys continue to age and right now we have JT in his prime, Bryson in his prime, Zach Wheeler in his prime, Nola when he's going well in his prime, we can't just sit here and sit there and go, all right, well, we need to add this piece or this piece, and we got to mortgage these guys away. Like, to me, they have to play with those B-level, C-level prospects and bring in guys like nothing earth-shattering. Like, if you want to make a move for Craig Kimbrel, from what I'm hearing, is it's not going to cost you much as long as you take on the money.
Yep. And that's what they're going to do.
Which I'm fine with.
Right.
I'm absolutely fine with that.
As am I, and I think that's exactly... Look, everything you're saying is spot on, and Dave Dombrowski knows that. John Middleton knows that. The people in the front office, they know that. They can't mortgage what little, you know, real talent they have down there in the minor leagues.
And that's a good
just
talent,
for a
man.
Chance, just for a chance to win this year. They're not going to do that. That's not what's going to happen. What could happen is that they take on salary, is that they get some guys that are under team control for a couple of years, and they swap out some other, you know, B and C level talent out of the minor leagues and take on salary to make this team better today. If they're going to be buyers, I would be shocked if it's done any other way than that way. So I don't. You're not going to trade Bryson Stott. You're not. They're not going to do that. They're not going to trade Mick Abel. They're not going to do it.
And everybody, we're out here on the corner of 11th and Patterson here at Xfinity Live. You're listening to Chris Sack and Greg Murphy talking the tough baseball questions that we need answered right now.
Of course, and I think we all know what the needs are with the Phillies, but why don't we talk a little bit about around the league here, Murph?
Okay.
So the Cubs. The Cubs are obvious sellers.
Yep.
All right? And the core of their franchise looks like it's all going to be dissipated. I mean, like, you know, I don't want to include Kimbrel, but the Javi Baezes, the Chris Bryants, perhaps an Anthony Rizzo, a Wilson Contreras. Guys like these right now are being floated about in Major League Baseball circles for the next week. And I'm sitting here right now, and it stinks. Because, like, I remember what that run was like for the Cubs. And you said it last week. Chicago's your favorite city to visit, and as is mine. And, you know, like, I know how much Wrigleyville was loving what they had.
It was awesome. It was good for baseball,
but
really.
But now it's about to be gone in about a week. And but these guys are high-priced eventual free agents like Baez and Chris Bryant. Where do you think that we're going to wind up seeing these guys? I mean, I don't want to say. I think I know what you're thinking. But, you know, Chris Bryant potentially could be a New York Met. And that's one thing that we cannot have happen.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. And I do think it's a possibility. I certainly think the Mets and their new ownership, they're going to be, well, we know they're going to be buyers. And they've already made a couple small purchases, and they're probably going to be looking for more. Yeah, Chris Bryant could be a New York Met. And if that happens, that's not good news for the Phils. But, you know, he also could head over to the American League. There's a couple of American League teams that are kicking his tires as well. So, you know, as a Phillies fan, you hope that Bryant moves out. You know, you talk about the Cubs, and they do have, you know, those guys are franchise you know, players. Those guys are going to be Cub legends forever because they brought the World Series back to Chicago. It's similar to a 2012-2013 Philadelphia, you know, where we started watching the pieces that had brought so much excitement and joy to Philadelphia.
They're falling apart.
Start to go. It happens to every franchise. The best franchises, the franchises that that have it all figured out, they never let it, you know, kind of come all crashing down. They're able to kind of, you know, stay middle of the pack and then get back up there. It'll be interesting to see if the Cubs can do that. I don't think so. I think they're going to have to tear it all down, and they're going to be a bad team for a couple of years.
Now, the Yankees sit 3.5 out right now in the American League wild card. They're 8 games behind both the Rays and the Red Sox. You know the Red Sox are going to be buying. They're probably going to be more inclined to look towards the starting pitching market. But the Yankees, there's no chance on God's green earth that the Yankees are going to be sellers. They're going to be adding some pieces here coming up at the deadline.
Yep.
It's just a matter of who or what they're going to be adding to that roster.
Yeah, and so if
you're starting pitching for them
right,
as well.
And again, you know, I made the comment about if you're sitting in Atlanta, you're having the same conversations we are having right now here in Philadelphia. If you're sitting as a Yankee fan, you're having the exact same conversations. What, you know, I mean, the Yankees are not a good baseball team. You're right. They will absolutely be buyers at the trade deadline. There's no way the Yankees are going to be sellers. They're going to buy. They're going to hope to get better. They're going to hope to get one of the wild card spots and take their chances. But, you know, the Yankees are always going to be in the mix for the top players in the top town. So,
speaking of top players in top town, yeah. Could somebody please accidentally run over Freddie Freeman with their vehicle?
I actually like Freddie.
Look,
he's a Philly killer, but he's got a great personality to him. He's awesome.
Hey,
he's a free agent after the season.
For the right price, I got it covered. Not gonna lie.
He's a free agent after the season, so you might not have
better.
To put up with him anymore.
Don't run him over. Bring
well,
him,
no.
Bring
I mean, you got Dak Prescott a little cheaper after a leg snap. You know, who knows?
The Washington Nationals.
You are not right.
There is. Murph, when have you known anything to be right?
That's true. That is
and make sure, everybody, you do subscribe to our YouTube channel, youtube.com/TheGreenLegion. So even if you're not out here at the hot corner during Sunday baseball listening to Chris Sack and Greg Murphy, you can listen to any past episodes anytime.
And we're going to be here plenty in August.
Yeah.
A bunch of times in August, for sure.
I'll tell you what, I hope this weather continues in August.
I agree.
In July in Philadelphia, it's gorgeous out here.
You just jinxed it.
And then Mother Nature. But
Murph, real quick, I want to get your opinion. The Nationals sit 7 games out in the National League East. They have 3 teams between them in first place. I mean, obviously the Mets are in first, and then us and the Braves. Max Scherzer. They have to make a decision because Scherzer's going to be a free agent after the season.
Yeah.
Do you see Mad Max getting traded by Saturday? Because, I mean, he's a franchise icon with the Nationals.
I know.
And
I think
they want to hold him. Hey, man, there was different color
That's
eyes for
cool,
sure.
That's kind of cool, I think.
But yeah, I agree.
I know we're not supposed to judge anymore, but he still creeps me out. looks like the first stage of the zombie apocalypse.
Yeah, guess what? He would look pretty good in the Phillies uniform with the one brown eye.
Well,
please be the Walking Dead up here.
Yeah.
But I think the Nationals can get the Red Sox and the Yankees to bid against one another make that move, and then they can improve their farm system. It's not bad in Washington, but I think those two are going to be sitting there really laying down a heavy hand this week for him.
I agree. I think Max Scherzer does get traded. The Nationals are a realistic franchise, I believe, and they know that they're not going to be winning anything. Steven Strasburg is probably not going to be back this year. He had another step back. I think Max Scherzer is in a different uniform come next week, which might be one of the biggest moves of the trade deadline.
Can you imagine him going to the Red Sox and them getting Chris Sale back in August?
Yeah, the Red Sox.
I know you said they stink, and they're my dark horse.
but
you know who doesn't stink? Cherry Hill Triplex.
That's
the premier New Jersey Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Kia, Mitsubishi, and Ram dealers serving South Jersey and all of the Delaware Valley. They have a huge selection of new and used vehicles from which to choose. Cherry Hill Triplex online and offline customers enjoy vehicle specials every day. We offer Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Kia, Mitsubishi, and Ram service and parts and online inventory and outstanding financing options, making Cherry Hill Triplex the preferred dealer serving the entire Delaware Valley. Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Kia, Mitsubishi, and Ram buyers, get ready and set up a test drive. Visit us in Cherry Hill, New Jersey today. Coming up in our next segment, our final segment for this morning here, we are going to give you our picks for today's Major League Baseball action. How did Murph fare last week? Did he make up any ground against the Sack Attack? You'll find out right after this, right here on Bud Light Baseball Brunch.
Company is the premier vintage sports clothing and collectibles retail store in the tri-state area. Visit www.buckscountybaseballco.com or stop by their Bristol, PA location. Items from the Phillies, Eagles, Sixers, Flyers, and so much more. Again, visit www.buckscountybaseballco.com or stop by their Bristol, PA location. The showroom is huge, the website even bigger. Bucks County Baseball Company, the name in Philly for vintage sports.
And if you like that come-in music, that was Panama by the Hooters.
We need more Hooters on this show.
Welcome back for our final segment. Welcome back for our final segment here this Sunday morning.
Everybody, that was not me.
On Bud Light Baseball Brunch. Fantastic morning out here. Beautiful, beautiful morning here down here at 11th and Pattison here at the Sports Complex. Make sure you guys stop on over. This is Chris Sack with Green Legion Radio alongside Phillies broadcaster Greg Murphy. Make sure you guys stop on over and check us out and grab a drink here at the bar before you guys go into this afternoon.
They're less expensive over here.
Well, it is less expensive, yes, for sure, before you guys head into the ballpark for Phillies Braves this afternoon.
If you're on the number 17 bus right now that's passing, hop off. Come on in. Have a drink and then get back on the line. It'll be back around again.
No need to go back to the Naval Yard.
All right. So with that, no further ado here.
Right yeah.
Now, we are going to have to go into our picks.
Lay
our
it out
six
there.
Pack of picks for this week, Murph. Murph made up some ground last week, and you piggybacked. You had to make four picks last week, and you piggybacked the Blue Jays for a doubleheader victory. Kudos
right.
to you. Your one loss last week, and you still have not had a perfect week this season. I'm just going to put that out there. The Dodgers did not perform well. They lost to the Rockies.
Dodgers lost to the Rockies.
They struggled with them the last two weekends, at home and away. And I went 1-2. So Murph now sits at 21-22-1. And I'm 24-20 on the season. So you're still making money with me, and you're still losing money with Murph. So
until this week, I'm feeling good.
You feel good every week.
I'm what they call an optimistic better. That's what I am. Right up until right until the game's over. Then I'm like,
which is a polite euphemism for broke.
Yes, exactly right.
All right, Murph, go ahead. Give me your first pick for this Sunday.
All right, so the San Diego Padres are down there in South Florida today. They're taking on the Miami Marlins. Padres lost last night to the Marlins. I think the final was 3-2 in that one. I think they right the ship today, do the Padres. Yu Darvish on the mound for San Diego. I think it's a bullpen game for Miami. I didn't see who they were starting. Yeah. So they're -137. I say take San Diego, take the Padres on getaway day to win that one, and win that one pretty big.
All right. Well, I'm liking the Oakland A's again this week. I know they lost for me last week, but it's a four-game set in Seattle. The A's won on Thursday. They've lost the last two in Seattle. I right now they're battling for second place right there in a wild card position out there in the American League West. So the Mariners have been a big surprise. Seven games over 500.
Yeah.
They're a good team. I'm taking the A's. The Cole Irvin, Swervin' Irvin. We gave him away for next to nothing, and the guy is having a heck of a year pitching for the A's. I'm going to go along with him today. I'm going to take the A's -130 at Seattle coming up this afternoon.
All right, go Mariners. All right. Mets and Blue Jays.
No, I never root against you.
Yes, you do.
Just listen to him off air.
Yeah, right.
Gosh, I guess you read my mind.
Mets and Blue Jays today, and games in New York. Look, both offenses for these two teams are swinging the bats. I mean, the Blue Jays have a terrific offensive team. The Mets are really starting to hit the baseball right now. Ross Stripling versus Rich Hill, making his Mets debut, as we talked about.
Rich Hill has probably the best nickname in baseball. I don't know if I can say it here on air, but if you don't know, look it up. It's fantastic.
Okay, there you go. But the Mets and Blue Jays over 8.5 today. I'm taking the over. I think they're going to put some runs up against Stripling and Hill. I'm not sold on Rich Hill. You know, like we said, we talked about the Rays are just kind of giving them away. Why? Well, because the Rays probably know something. So give me the over, 8.5 Mets and Blue Jays today.
I'm sticking with that game. I'm not taking a side, though. I am taking a side.
All right.
I'm not going over-under on this game. I'm taking the Blue Jays.
There you go.
All right. But,
how did the Mets do for you last week?
The Mets came back. Remember, they were down 6-0, and they came back to win that game. Yeah, I know. I was going 0-3 last week, and then they came back. I wasn't rooting for it.
Yeah,
but I would have taken the 0-3 week if we would have made up a game. Come on, man, you know me better than that, Murph. But I know
you don't.
You want to win. I get it.
I know. I do want to win.
That's why I can't bet on the Mets. I can't do it.
I'm a winner.
Yeah.
I want winners like Mike Singletary.
All right. So you like the Blue Jays? Right,
so
I like the sound of that.
So the Blue Jays and the Mets are both -108. Okay, it's Rich Hill's debut. I love that Blue Jays lineup, man. It is so deep. They are an unbelievable hitting team. They got Springer's back. He's healthy now. He made that unbelievable catch that you showed me before we went on air today. I'm taking the Blue Jays at minus 108 up there at Citi Field, which I hate that ballpark. It's an homage to more to the Dodgers than it is to the Mets franchise. That shows you how pathetic they are.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of that ballpark either. I would agree with you on that.
Well, I mean, if it was an
it's better than the Nationals Park, though. It is better than that park. That park's the worst.
I'll give Citi Field credit, man. There's no shootings that happen outside the third base gate.
Okay,
so we'll take that. But that's my pick, Blue Jays.
All right, so and my third pick, this one. Okay, you talk about low hanging fruit. I'm grabbing it. I'm grabbing all of it right now. Astros. I've been living off teams playing the Rangers, and it's like the only wins I can get. The Texas Rangers are a bad baseball team, and Houston is playing really, really well right now. I love the Astros over Texas today. They're minus 219. You got Zach Greinke on the hill for the Astros. So give me Houston all day long. And look, pluck, pluck, pluck. I'm taking it.
Man.
All right? Minus 219.
All right. I'm going to say go Rangers on that one. But all right. So
see what I mean?
My last pick.
My favorite emoji right here. Shocker.
My last pick is Diamondbacks Cubs. They had 11. Right. They had 11 runs scored on Friday. They had 10 runs scored yesterday. Today's over-under is over 9. The weather's beautiful in Chicago today, 84 degrees. It's going to be
perfect. Which way is the wind blowing?
I didn't look that far into where it was blowing at Wrigley, but I'll tell you what, nonetheless, the ball's going to be going out of the ballpark today. I'm going over 9. I took one under this year. I've gone over.
Which is so weird because offense was down for the first half of the season.
And I was hitting big.
I know you were.
I was hitting big on those earlier in the season. So
wait, so did you take two overs? No, you took the Mets.
I took the A's, the Blue Jays, and the over 9 for the Diamondbacks Cubs. So what were your three again, Mark?
All right, so I got the Padres. I've got the over in the Mets-Blue Jays game, and I got the Astros over the Rangers.
All right. And without further ado, let's go ahead into our favorites part of the week. Can you believe it?
All right.
Every time, love it, love it, love it. This time, every Sunday. Murph, two things that we found interesting from this past week in Major League Baseball. Give me your first one.
All right, so there's so many good things out there happening right now. Again, baseball is a sport that something happens each year, each day, each week that you've never seen before, and we continue to see it, 100-plus years into this great game. So the first one I've got for you, how about this? Vlad Guerrero Jr., who has done so many amazing things this year, ties Cody Bellinger and Joe DiMaggio as the only players 22 years or younger to have 32 home runs through 92 games in a season. 22 years or younger. Joe D., I mean, Cody Bellinger, had a monster rookie season, but Vlad Guerrero Jr. having an awesome season as well in his 22 age year, and it's good to see. Anytime you're on a list with Joe DiMaggio, right?
Oh man, yeah. Well, it just shows the type of year he's been having. So yeah. I'm going to go with another young gun. Juan Soto has 10 multi home run games. That's tied for the second most by a player before 23. The only player with more is Eddie Matthews with 13.
There you go. Again, another dynamic young player. And how about what he said at the Home Run Derby, where he said, "This is going to fix my swing." And wouldn't you know
it's unbelievable.
He's on fire right now. I think he had 5 or 6 home runs since the All-Star game.
I have one.
Huh?
A little person gives up a 700-foot shot to the left field fence last night in the Phillies game.
Stop it.
I have a can you believe it? Quimby actually showed up not hungover today.
There you go. That is
can
hard
you
to believe.
Believe it?
Can you believe it?
Murph, give me your second one.
Yeah. All right, how about this?
I'm going to be so hungover next time.
And this one is specifically for you. I should not, with Quimby here, I shouldn't even go here, but I'm going to. The San Francisco Giants have reached 60-plus wins in their first 95 games for the first time since 1993.
Captain Coconut.
And you know what? And you know what happened in 1993? They collapsed down the stretch and the Braves beat them.
All right.
They got into the playoffs.
We'll
so they're going to collapse.
We'll see.
Fernando Tatis Jr. became the fastest player to reach 50 home runs and 50 stolen bases in his career.
Yeah.
And he's just getting started,
baby. He is just getting started. And you know what? How good is he for the game of baseball? I mean, just the way he interacts. When they were here in Philadelphia, every single game, Fernando Tatis came out after BP and stood signing autographs for kids, for young fans, for about 20 minutes each game.
It's fantastic. Here,
and each time the Fanatic was heckling him, it was great.
Yeah, you got to love that, too. But Fernando Tatis is exactly what the game of baseball needs right now. And add in all the other young guys we're talking about. He's been outstanding. And, again, fun to watch.
Murph, you know what happened 6 years ago today?
No.
Cole Hamels threw his no-hitter in his last start as a Philly at Wrigley Field.
Oh, and guess who took a group to that game?
Yeah, you did.
No, you didn't.
Yeah, we did.
We were in Chicago, but we were at the game on Sunday.
Yes, and so many were at the game on Saturday.
Including me.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's right. But you know what 6 years from
tomorrow? Thanks,
Zach. You know what 6 years
way from to ruin a perfectly good lie.
You know what 6 years from tomorrow actually was, Murph? The first time you got to meet me on the rooftop when you did your spot with
NBC
Sports Philadelphia.
Because of Quimby? I got to send you the picture.
I will.
Yeah, mom and dad up on the rooftop. My sons, Matthew and Colin, their first time at Wrigley, up on the rooftop as well, thanks to the Green Legion. And, I remember going out there doing a hit. I think Rob Ellis was out there with you guys. Am I right about that? Was Rob Ellis? Was that a different time?
I believe he was.
I think he was. And, you guys had an awesome crew.
He was with us at, he came to Irish Oak.
Okay.
Just to hang out. He was friends with Bayless.
Okay.
Eric Bayless.
There you go.
And,
I thought he was at that. Good memories.
Can you believe it for that, real quick, before we wrap up the program?
Best Chicago Cubs game ever.
The best Chicago Cubs game?
Yep.
Like ever?
Ever. For Philadelphia fans.
Are you talking about the one that
2014-3?
No.
Oh.
The one in 2016 when we went to see the Brewers and Cubs on the rooftop and did three Eagles chants at the top of our lungs, and Barstool Sports covered it.
There you go.
So the opposing pitcher that lost to Cole Hamels that day was Jake Arrieta.
Yes, he was.
All right, so he lost to the Phillies on that day, okay? That was his only loss. Over a 31 start stretch from June 21st, 2015 to May 31st, 2016, he had more no hitters than games lost during that span.
That's amazing. You're right.
Incredible.
He had two.
All right. Thank you all for coming out again today to visit us here at Bud Light Baseball Brunch down here at 1100 Social Xfinity Live and listening to us wherever you are. For Craig, Quimby Chinoski, John Jansen back in studio, / Phillies broadcaster Greg Murphy, I'm Chris Sack. And like a 3-1 pitch to Ryan Howard, we are out of here, baby. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday and go Phils.